When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That was Alex Van Pelt talking about Drake May and protecting their quarterback for the last three games of the season. And I got to think of Drake May hearing that. He must be pissed. Like, I think Drake May wants to show what he can do. Mm-hmm. And I also think when you think about Jerod Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, their jobs are on the line. We all believe that. Right. I mean, I don't think they're going to be saying goodbye to Jerod Mayo, but fans are calling for their jobs. So to only focus on Drake May and protecting your quarterback instead of winning games, mm-hmm. that's an issue.
But when you talk like that, it doesn't come across as like you feel like your job's on the line. It comes across as like, we don't want to get this guy hurt. We want him to be healthy and ready to go for next season.
Right.
Then that's what it doesn't sound like. Alex Van Pelt is thinking like, my job's on the line. It thinks like, well, I want to make sure these last couple of games, I don't put Drake in harm's way with designed quarterback runs. And I need him to be healthy come this offseason so we can, you know, focus on what we need to do to get better moving forward for next year.
But in the last 2 days, we've put a lot of focus on the last three games of the season and on a four-game losing streak. Jerod Mayo, what does he need to do to show that he deserves to be here next season? Mm-hmm. Shyam, I don't know where you fall when it comes to Jerod Mayo. If you want, I know that you said you think he's been coaching soft, he's been coaching scared.
Yep.
A few different adjectives you've used to describe him, but do you want him gone for next season?
I mean. For the right option, right? Like, if you're telling me Mike Vrabel's your next head coach, then yeah, sure, I'd probably like to move on from him. I don't think they will, though. So I think it's kind of pointless for me to wish cast who I would want as the Patriots head coach, because I don't think he's going anywhere. And I think Alex Van Pelt is clearly not going anywhere either, because if he felt like his job was in jeopardy at all, he would be doing everything he can to win football games to make sure his job isn't in jeopardy. And by not doing that, it tells me he feels very secure in his spot as offensive coordinator. I don't think he has any belief that he's going to get fired this offseason, and that's why they're doing everything they can to protect Drake May for next season when they think they might actually be able to compete a little bit.
Well, and if they don't think that they're getting fired right now, or if those reports are true that Jerod Mayo's already gotten assurance that his job is okay for year two, mm-hmm. Nobody really thinks that they're going to win these last three games. I mean, you've got the Bills twice, the Chargers once. I don't see them winning any of them.
But that's why if they do win one,
it's great.
It looks even better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think nobody expects them to win. So if you are able to pull one and miraculously get two out of the three, then it's like, okay, now we're cooking with something here as we go into the offseason and get ready for next year.
Well, it's weird because there are like these reports and, well, not reports, but I don't remember if it was Greg Bedard or if it was Burt Breer that I saw talking about it. But just that, like, Mayo is, these last three games, he's kind of coaching for his job.
Like, how?
Well, I'm just saying, this is like the whispers are, and I don't know, Shyam, if
yeah, I think that was Bedard.
Okay, if there's audio where, like, the whispers are from wherever he's getting these whispers from coming from the building that the Crafts are really looking at these last three games, and if they kind of don't look good and they get their doors blown off in these last three games, then there's a chance that the Crafts might move on from Mayo. So I don't know how much you believe that.
I just don't know what he can prove in the last three games. You've got three hard matchups against two teams.
Maybe you lose close ones. You don't get blown out.
But okay, so you lose close ones. You're still losing these games. I don't know how, and I wish that Greg or Curtis were here, because I think those two have been pretty vocal about wanting Jerod Mayo gone. And so if you want him gone, is there any way in your mind that he could switch it around in the last three games? This team's not going to win the game.
Well, but if they play tough and they lose the game by a field goal and they were in the game, and let's just say it was a, you know, guy drops a ball or an offensive lineman gets beat, and that's how you lost the football game, and Mayo coached the game up good, and it was a good defensive game plan. It was a good offensive game plan. You played Buffalo tough. You played the Chargers tough, and you lost those games by, say, you know, less than 7 points. I think that some of the people that might be like, because we had this conversation yesterday, it might have been yesterday with Greg, when he was like, well, look how the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell finished the season where they lost three games. They won three of their final six games.
Yeah, that's kind of bogus, though, because to start the next season, they started 1-6.
Like, right, I kind of agree with you, Shine, but I'm just saying, from the people that want to see Mayo gone, if you lose tough games and close games these last three games.
But they're not even, for the most part,
they changed the mindset a little bit.
They're not even talking about the actual games. Like, when they want Jerod gone, they're going to these press conferences and things that Jerod Mayo said and walked back, which I said this yesterday, Shime, I know you weren't here. To me, it's crazy, because 2 years ago, when Bill Belichick wasn't saying anything, and I brought up, you know, well, media members or fans are getting sick and tired of how Bill handles press conferences or interviews when they're losing, and I was told over and over again, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I don't care about what Bill says to the media. I only care about what's going on the field. So now Jerod Mayo comes in, and all of a sudden, all we care about is what he's saying, what he's not saying, what he's walking back. So
because he's a first year head coach, and people think when he's doing that, that's a lack of experience. Greg always brings up leadership, and if your head coach is, you know, wavering when he speaks after the game, and then he has to walk back things, Greg's point is, how is this guy the right leader for your football team?
But so, I think there's misplaced anger then. Everybody's angry at Jerod Mayo when they should be angry at the Crafts for putting a guy who was so green in that position, right? Like, it's not Mayo's fault that he's never done this before and then was given the job. If you're ever offered a job that you're unqualified for, you're not going to turn it down just because you're unqualified. You're going to accept it and try and do it and get better at it and figure it out as you go, especially because it's such a big pay bump and there's not that many opportunities for this in the world. Like, there's 32 of these jobs. Mm-hmm. That's it. And so I think that a lot of people have misplaced anger. It's like Jerod Mayo's learning on the job as he goes. He has never done this before at any level. High school, Wiggy had more head coaching experience entering this season than Jerod Mayo. That's a fact.
That's not true, though, because Jerod Mayo has been coaching for the last 6 years.
But he has never been a head coach, Wiggy. But he's been a position coach
but
defensive coordinator.
Shine, but that is the case for the majority of new head coaches that hire.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying
Dan Campbell never had head coaching experience. He never called plays.
Actually, he had been an interim twice.
Yeah, but that doesn't technically count. He never called plays. Mike McDaniels never was a head coach. Didn't call plays when he was in San Francisco. If Ben Johnson gets hired, guess what? He's never been a head coach before. Has he called plays? Yes. But that doesn't mean anything. Bobby Slowick, same thing. Never been a head coach. He's going to be first year experience, learning on the job. Most guys, unless you're a guy like Vrabel or you're a guy like Harbaugh or you're a guy like Dan Quinn who's hired by the Washington Commanders, those guys have had head coach experience. If you're telling me, if people go fire Mayo, hire Ben Johnson, guess what? Ben Johnson has never been a head coach in the National Football League, same way Mayo wasn't.
Yep.
So he's probably going to run into some problems too. If you're like, fire Mayo, hire Vrabel, at least you can say Vrabel has had head coaching experience.
All right, let's hear from Dave. Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Courtney. I got a quick question, quick comment. I was trying to catch Curtis there the other day because he keeps saying the same thing, and Wiggy just made my point. As Jerod Mayo has been there for 5 years coaching, and Curtis keeps saying he inherited this roster. He didn't inherit this roster. He got hired on January 14th of this year. He knew what he had. So going into the game, into the season, he knew what his team was.
Yeah, yeah.
Opportunity to change it and add to it, but he didn't.
Well, see, then I would think that...
That's on Elliot Wolf, though.
Yeah,
thanks,
like,
Dave.
That's not a Mayo problem.
No. Like, I
Mayo wanted to burn some cash. He said it on our show.
Yeah, and I think he was promised that. I keep going back, and that's why I asked him that question 2 weeks ago, where is this first-year head coaching experience what you expected? Have you been given all the tools to be successful? I think that when he was offered this position, obviously nobody would turn it down. But he was probably promised, hey, we're going to open the checkbook. We're going to give you everything that you need. We're going to give you the guys that you want. And that's not what ended up happening. And I don't understand how Jelani Tavai, who's great on every time we talk to him, he's so kind with his time. He's honest. But to talk about how it's another good week of practice, I don't think this defense is going to make any strides in the last 3 weeks. Like, you keep every single week we've talked about missing tackles. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can look and say that the defense is going to get any better. I mean, I think that you've got to completely revamp that part of the game.
Well, yeah, that means you need a new defensive coordinator.
Of course, but that's
the he's going
to be
the scapegoat this year. DeMarcus Covington will probably be the one to lose his job, and AVP and Jerron Mayo, in my mind, are totally safe.
But the true blame, if you're really looking at it, is on the Crafts, because did they tell Elliot Wolf, like, we're not spending money?
Bingo.
And then if they told Elliot Wolf we're not spending money, then Gerard probably's thinking, all right, I know what the roster looks like. It's not very good, but I'm not going to turn down a head coaching job. I know what I'm inheriting, but we're going to make some changes and we're going to add to it. But if the Crafts are like, well, we don't want to spend any money and we don't want to spend at the top of the market, then you're not really adding good pieces to a roster that's not very good. And this is what happens. You can first year head coach with that inherits a bad team, that inherits a roster that's not very good. This is what you see. Three and nine? What's their record?
3-11.
3-11.
And they tell you, too, like last offseason, they didn't love the players and the price tags that were on those players in free agency. Well, I hate to tell them, the offensive line free agents this year are definitely no better and probably worse than they were last year. Like, you could have gotten better guys in free agency last year on the offensive line than you could this year, because the best guy that was going to be a free agent just re-signed on the Denver Broncos on a 4-year deal. He was the best left tackle available, and he's now off the market. So, I mean, I look at the upcoming free agency, and it's not any better than it was last year. Are they now going to spend money on guys who are even worse than the guys last year? That doesn't make sense either.
Well, I think Phil agrees with you in New Hampshire that the Crafts maybe sabotage Mayo. Here's Phil. Morning, Phil.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm not a Mayo fan, but I will say Gerard Mayo is absolutely sabotaged, because we're fielding a team that's $36.7 million under the salary cap. And, you know, if they cared about anything, they would have signed a couple of, like, remember when Bill used to just sign a bunch of random guys to plug the holes and, you know, he'd spend the money, he'd spend up to the cap, but you knew that he was, you know, making attempts to fill the roster and to, you know, try to win games. We had two tackles on the free agent market this year, and neither one of them were cost prohibitive by any stretch of the word, and they didn't even bother. They had no intention. I think they were just really fine, because they know Mayo was just glad to be there. I'm upset with this team. I'm upset with ownership. It's not Elliot Wolf. He has a right to checks.
Thanks,
yeah,
Joe.
And see, that's the biggest, like, that would be the one thing that I would love to sit down with the Crafts and say, okay, what's the reason that you didn't give Elliot Wolf the green light on saying, all right, we're going to be aggressive, and whether it's free agency, trades, whatever it is, right? We're going to be aggressive, and we're going to spend money on guys that we think are top end players, right? Now, you never know what a guy's going to be. You, like, what they did a few years ago, and they went out and they spent money on guys that they, Nelson Aguilar, and, you know, maybe they're not the right guys, but at least you're making an attempt. I would ask, where was that attempt this year, or why did you say we don't want to do that? What's the reasoning behind not going after some of the top-end talent? Because you know that you needed help when it came to the roster. And you knew that.
Yeah, it's just all the slings and arrows that used to go directly to Bill are now just going directly to Gerard, and I don't see a big change in this season at all. And I think when Curtis talks about it, he puts it on Bill, that it's a bad look for Bill. I think it's a bad look for the Crafts. You know, you change your head coach, you go from the greatest of all time to a guy that's on the come up, and you add an unbelievable quarterback, and you still sit here and look at all the talent on the team around Drake and, you know, Christian Gonzalez, Christian Barmore. I wouldn't get rid of them, but everybody else
lackluster. I don't really get how it's on Bill. I mean, Bill, did he miss on some of the guys that he drafted? All right, yeah. I mean, but every GM does that. I don't really know how it's on him.
Yeah, it's not like Bill left you in cap jail. You had a ton of money to spend in the offseason, and you chose not to.
Right. We know that there was players that were possibly available, you know? I mean, I don't know. Maybe if you have Calvin Ridley, is your passing game a little bit better? Probably so, but you chose not to go in that direction. Or, you know, he chose another option because maybe you didn't give him more money. You did try to go after Brandon Ayuk. He chose to go back to San Fran. Okay, if that doesn't work, let's see if there's somebody else we can, you know, go after that might be of higher value or that is more productive. I mean, that's what you're going to look at this year. It was a cool little thing that I did on Keith and Jones and Keith. And like, I would ask both of you, you know, and we did it a little bit yesterday, but, you know, what would you do? You got 60 seconds. What would you do to change this team moving forward? And I think when you look at next year, isn't it, you just have to be super aggressive.
Yes.
And whether it's the trade market, whether it's free agency.
Acquiring talent.
But acquiring top-end talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that to me is the biggest thing, is acquiring top-end proven talent where you feel comfortable saying, all right, like, all right, my expectations that this guy is going to be a very, very good player. Not like, we're kind of rolling. Like when you got Jonnu Smith, I was like, all right, it's a good move, but is it, you know, is he going to do anything? Versus bringing in a guy that you know has put up legitimate numbers.
All right, well, while we roll into the 9 o'clock hour, we still have a lot to get to. We'll have Nick Kostos joining us at 9:30. Before that, at 9:20, we're going to do Wiggy Not Like the Rest of Us Shime.
Yes.
Good one there. And we also did our top three moments of the year. Shime was obviously sick, so I want to get to Shime's in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Reminisce on some of the great moments of the Greg Hill Show in 2024. Before we go to break, Johnny Cakes from Twitch has been hanging on for quite some time. So good morning, Johnny.
Morning, my queen. Hey, just to piggyback on the 99... My daughter is a bartender at the Danvers one. Please go and heckle her. And with Wiggy, great lead today, bro. That was inspirational. I just lost a dear friend. And Courtney, can you ask Mitch to look on Local Legends? I sent in a picture of her and I. She just passed on December 6th, and she was at Bernie's Roadshow this year.
Oh.
I really would like that picture up in the collage. I just sent it in this past week.
Oh, okay, Johnny. I'll get that for you and get that to Mitch so we can add it to the collage. So sorry for your loss.
Yeah, sorry for your loss, brother.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas, and shout out to Rocco.
Okay, Merry Christmas. Mm. That's Johnny Cakes from the Twitch. So we will be right back. We got to get to some Celtics talk, and we will get to Wiggy Not Like the Rest of Us, Nick Kostos, and so much more on this Greg Hill Show on a Friday.